It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now, here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Or on Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. Talking Giants football with you on this Friday morning in New Jersey. Still some ice on the ground. Supposed to be another cold weekend. Little snow on Sunday as winter continues as we head into the Giants offseason. And now with the Super Bowl in the books and free agency about a month and a half away, give or take a month and a couple of weeks, the Giants embark on an offseason that really is probably their most important offseason since 2010 when they put together a lot of the pieces to form that 2011 Super Bowl team. And we've talked a lot about the Giants' potential moves and their potential resources and their salary cap space this offseason. And likely they're going to have somewhere around $25 million to spend to improve this team. And again, we've talked about the needs all offseason long. You have running back, wide receiver, a tight end. You're going to have to focus a lot of your resources on the offensive line. That's number one, obviously. On defense, if Justin Tuck doesn't come back, you'll probably have to add a pass rusher. John Beeson, obviously a big person the Giants would like to get back. You might have to add another linebacker in addition to him. And then you need to figure out who your cornerback is going to be across from Prince Amukamara. So a lot of work to do for the Giants, limited resources, and that's what I want to open the show with today. And you've seen a lot of posts online by various people in the media over the course of the past couple of weeks about certain roster moves the Giants could make to save a certain amount of money on the cap to bring people in. And the guy I want to focus on, because I think it's an interesting scenario and I want to get everyone's take on it, is Eli Manning. He has 2 years left on his deal, $20 million or so each year left on that contract, you know, for $40 million, give or take. Eli Manning at this point is still in his prime, but he's coming off one bad year, and in 2012, you can make the argument that it was a okay year for Eli Manning. It certainly wasn't a vintage Eli year, but it was okay. So now the question remains for the Giants. They can restructure Eli Manning's contract to free up more cap space. But here's the trick. Since there's only 2 years left, if you really want to do some serious restructuring and move a ton of that money back, you're going to have to give him a contract extension. And if you give him a contract extension, that extension is going to look a lot like the contract that Jay Cutler got. It's going to look like a lot like the contract Tony Romo got. It's going to look a lot like the contract Joe Flacco got. So you're talking about $20 million a year with a significant signing bonus, significant guaranteed money for a guy like Eli Manning if you really want to extend that contract and free up even more cap space. And you could free up a good $10, $15 million if you restructure that a certain way and you push Eli Manning's money back. But, and here's the big but, do you want to invest that type of money in Eli Manning coming off one bad year and one so-so year, and say, this is my quarterback for the next 8 years? Because that's about what you'd be committing to. You'd be committing to Eli Manning being your quarterback until he's about 38 years old. So you're looking at about 7 years, probably, a commitment. It'd be a 5 or 6 year contract extension to move that money back. Probably a 5 year, $100 million extension, something like that, maybe 6. And considering how he's played, is it a good idea to invest that type of money this year in Eli Manning? And quite frankly, I'm going to say no. I think it's a wise decision to wait, let him play out this season. He's still under contract for one more year. And then if he has a rebound season this year with a better offensive line, more reliable wide receivers, a better tight end, perhaps a better running game. I think that's when you say, Eli Manning, we're going to commit to you. You are not on the decline. We have faith and confidence that you still are who you have been, and you have the ability to keep that up over the course of your career. And now we're going to invest in you going forward. And that's not insulting to Eli. That's not insulting to anybody. That's simply good business. Because if you're the Giants, the last thing you can afford to do is invest significant money and invest a significant signing bonus and guaranteed money into a quarterback that's going to be okay. And I'll compare Eli Manning's career trajectory, and this is a worst-case scenario. What if his career trajectory is like Carson Palmer, who played his best year at age 28 or 29, and since then, is he still a serviceable quarterback? Sure, he got the Cardinals to 10 wins this year. But he's not a franchise difference-making quarterback that you can invest $20 million in, and in effect, a sixth or even a fifth, depending on what his yearly salary would be, of your salary cap. If you're going to invest a fifth of your salary cap in somebody, that guy better damn well be a guy that can carry your team. And do I think Eli Manning still isn't in him? I do. You put a gun to my head, John, what do you think? Will Eli recover and be the quarterback he was back in 2012 again in the next few years in his career? Yeah, I think he will be. But as an executive, if you put me in Jerry Reese's shoes here, I'm going to wait the year to extend him so I know for sure. That's the luxury of having him under contract for two or more years. I don't see a need to rush into it and say, let's give him the money now and throw caution to the wind. It's way too big of a risk for not enough of a reward. If he has a great year this year, you extend him next year, and then you have more salary cap in the 2015 offseason. That's great. I think you have enough cap space this season to bring in enough pieces to get back to being a team that can challenge for the NFC East. Can you challenge for a Super Bowl? It might be a little bit tough. Everything would have to break right. But $25 million, then if you extend on Charol, maybe you can get it up to 30. And I would extend on Charol because, to me, he's proven the last couple of years that he does have a lot of prime years left. He's a good leader. He's bought in. He's part of the fabric of this team and organization now. He's a guy I would extend. But Eli, I'd wait. And I'd say, I want you to show me, just for a year, that's it, that you can be the guy you were 3 years ago. Because that was the last vintage Eli Manning season. Once the season starts in September, it was three seasons ago. And investing that much money in a guy and that much cap space in the guy, which would limit your resources elsewhere that you can spend on other positions, I think is a risk the Giants probably don't need to take now. Would it be the worst move in the world? No. But to me, it's a risk not worth taking at this point. You wait. That's what's best for the organization, and that's what you got to do. And frankly, Eli's not going to be mad about it. He's going to be making $50 million over the next 2 years or $40 million, whatever it is, and he'll be happy with that. No need to extend the guy with 2 years left on his deal. That's the type of stuff that can get you into trouble. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to the phone and say what's up to D down in Atlanta. D, what's up, pal?
Hey, good morning. How y'all doing?
I'm doing right, D. What's up?
Nothing much. Just want to say, y'all have a great show. I tune in all the time. I don't call a lot, but I do tune in. But I
appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. One thing I would like, though, the honesty sometimes I think is some of the fans and you all, sometimes y'all aren't real honest. Because, number one, like the King Knicks, I mean, I hear them guys chasing all them, talking about bringing back. Look, it's honestly, he doesn't want to be there. I mean, there ain't no way I re-sign a guy with that attitude. If you look at his interviews, the guy doesn't want to be there, you know?
Wait, D, hold on a second. That's exactly what I said yesterday. How was I not being honest?
No, not you. No, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay. I got you.
I think it's Steve and Shakes and them guys that you always talk about bringing King Nick or re-sign him or whatever. Or I think you and Shakes was getting into it yesterday.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I understand the passion, but look, the guy doesn't want to be there. And second of all, about the Eli Manning thing, I'm still stuck on them two Super Bowls. You know, it's just I think he's earned the right to retire a Giant, whether he had a bad season last year I just think if you surround him with, like you said, a better O-line, give him some, you know, better stuff to work with in his new coordinator, that he'll bounce back.
No, D, I agree, and I think Eli will bounce back. But theoretically, let's say you don't extend him this season, right? And he has another, let's say next year he throws 22 touchdowns, throws 18 interceptions, completes 59% of his passes, and the Giants go 8-8. Are you willing to give a guy that now has had two and a half consecutive years, if you want to go back to 2012, of not being a, and I hate using this word, but I'll use it anyway, quote-unquote elite quarterback, are you willing to invest that type of guaranteed money and your very valuable salary cap space in a quarterback that now for 2.5 years has not been an all-pro level quarterback?
I'm just going to respond to that real quick.
Sure.
I'm going to say yes, because I look at a guy like Peyton Manning. His brother just lost that Super Bowl, which, you know, obviously you invest that in him, right? I mean, it's Peyton Manning.
But in fairness, Peyton Manning's never, since his rookie season, had the type of year that Eli had last year.
But Eli's resume says he's going to bounce back. I mean, if you look at the guy's resume, when he has a year like this, he comes back and we probably win the Super Bowl. I mean, if we win the Super Bowl next year, I won't be surprised, because that's what he does. But I want to say one quick thing, and I'm going to ask you one quick question, and I'm going to get off.
Sure.
In a big game, Super Bowl, you got a Super Bowl, which quarterback, and could you get everybody's opinion on this if you can, I don't know. Would you rather have Eli Manning or Peyton Manning for one game Super Bowl to win it all?
Now, D, hold on one second. Am I inside in the dome, or am I playing outside in the elements?
I'll leave that to you all to do that. but I'm just saying the game. I don't need no dome or nothing. Just it's the game, you know, because that's an excuse you're giving the quarterback. I don't want to hear excuses. It's a sport. Things happen. But I'm just saying, one game to win it all, Super Bowl, Peyton Manning or Eli Manning. And thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, D. And look, over the course of a regular season, I don't think there's any question Peyton's had more sustained success and been a lot more consistent than Eli. So I think the answer to that question in ask, which I'll answer first, is Peyton Manning. One big game in the playoffs. Whew. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people because I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. Anybody that's listened to the show knows I'm a huge Peyton Manning fan. But in big spots, in big games, and I know probably sometimes Peyton has not had the better team because of bad defenses, and I think he covers up a lot of blemishes. Look what happened to the Colts when Peyton Manning got hurt that year. They became a 2-win team. Tom Brady got hurt on the Patriots with Matt Castle. They still won 10 games. So I think that's one thing you need to look at. But I will say this. In a big spot, I think I have to go Eli. In a big spot, and let me put it this way. In the big spot in the playoffs, in inclement weather or not, in a dome, Eli's played well too, so it's hard to really make a difference there. Eli has more consistently, I think, played above his normal regular season level than Peyton has. Peyton's played fine, but you don't see him improve or even matches regular season stats a lot of times in the postseason, while Eli, on the other hand, has either matched or even surpassed what he's done the regular season. I compare it to Derek Jeter a lot. People complain, Jeter, oh, he's not a home run hitter, he's not a power hitter, and that's all true. You know, a guy like Bernie Williams to me was offensively just as important, if not more so important, than Derek Jeter in the late 90s for the Yankees. But what's amazing about a guy like Jeter, and you can throw Andy Pettit into the mix too to a certain extent, they don't have any drop back when they get to the playoffs. And you're playing better teams and better competition. So naturally, you figure you're facing better pitchers. Your numbers are going to go down. In the case of Pettit, you're facing better lineups. Your numbers are going to get worse. But those guys maintain or even improve their performances in the postseason despite the fact that competition is elevated. And I think Eli has the tendency to do that more than Peyton. So, D, to answer your question, as much as I've danced around it in the last 2.5 minutes, I think I would have to go in the big spot. I think I have to go Eli Manning. Now, if you're giving me Peyton in his prime back in 2005, maybe we're having a different conversation. And maybe I'll take Peyton in that spot. But Peyton now versus Eli now in a really big spot, I think you have to think about taking Eli, but it's close. To me, it's still very close. Because do you take Eli at his best, or do you take Eli this season, or Eli the year where the Giants got shut out by the Eagles in the playoffs? That wasn't a great Eli Manning in the postseason those years either. So I think it's a tough question to answer, but it's a much, let me put it this way. Regular season, there's no question you take Peyton. Postseason, it's a much, much closer conversation. And I would have a lot of confidence in Eli Manning in that spot. A lot. A ton. Based on his history. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Christian in Long Island. Christian, what's going on, pal?
How we doing?
Doing all right, Christian. What's up?
All right. So I just wanted to ask, do we risk signing another offensive lineman to free agency and possibly having another David Bosch situation? Or, do we go the route I feel we actually should, which is build to the future of our line through the draft? What do you think of Juwan James out of Tennessee?
Christian, I don't think you can build your entire offensive line through the draft. You already have one second-year guy in Pugh that's going to be here next year. I think the Giants might keep David Bosch around simply because the amount of salary cap savings this year, if you let him go, isn't high. You can have a ton of dead money on your cap, so I think he might be around again. That being said, I don't think you can fully build your offensive line with rookies. I think you need the young players interspersed among veterans. Now, I would definitely draft another interior offensive lineman around two or round three, whether it's a center or a guard, depending on who they get in free agency. Or you can even draft a tackle in round one and move Pugh inside if you want to go that route. I wouldn't, but you can do that if you want. So, again, I think you got to do it both ways. I think you add one free agent offensive lineman, and I go after a really good player like an Alex Mack, and I spend the money on him. David Bosch, has it worked out as well as the Giants would have liked considering the amount of money they invested in him? Certainly not. He's been hurt way too much, and he hasn't been consistent. But I don't think you can solely build through the draft. I think you have to do it both ways.
What are your thoughts on Juwan James, the guard out of Tennessee?
Honestly, I've read things about him. He's supposed to be pretty good. I haven't, watched a lot of tape on him or done a ton of research. What does he play, guard or center?
I believe he's guard. They said that he has a physical style, especially in the run game, and that he would definitely serve us well, and he might be able to play outside.
Well, I'm bringing him up here. Let's see what they say about Juwan James here.
And there's actually another, I forgot the other guy's name, on Tennessee as well. They're both supposed to be beasts, and they can be had in the second to fourth and fifth rounds, possibly.
All right, I'll check it out. Let me look it up, Christian, and I'll hang up, and I'll tell you on the air, all right?
All right, and I thank you as well for all your time.
Hey, appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. Let's see. NFL Draft Scout Player Profile, Juwan James out of Tennessee. This is from this January. Juwan James, I'm listed as an offensive tackle, 6'6", 315, projected to be drafted around 3 or 4. So I don't think the Giants, if they're going to take an offensive tackle, are going to wait till rounds 3 or 4 to take them. I think if you take a player in rounds 3 or 4, I think you take an interior lineman because, if you find a guard or a center in rounds 3 or 4, especially in a deep draft like this, I feel like that guy can start. But drafting a tackle in rounds 3 or 4, and it's 6'6", 315, James is a tackle. He's not a guard or a center. So I think that's what you got to do. A tackle around 3 or 4, that's a developmental guy. That's not a guy that's going to play right away. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Steve in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's happening, John? Happy Friday, buddy. Listen, first of all, great show. Interview with Sean O'Hara the other day, by the way, too. Really enjoyed listening to you guys talk. It's funny that we're having this conversation because I was having this, with Shakes and Shane over, yesterday on Twitter. And, I just want to tell D, I appreciate, everybody's opinion. I'm glad he called in, because it's always great to hear other Giants fans. He sounds like a real fan.
Of course.
I'm not going to go on about Hakeem today, but I am going to say this. It just really comes down to a matter of opinion, and that's whether you believe this guy deserves another opportunity. I'm not going to get into Hakeem's head as to whether he wants to be here or whether he doesn't want to be here. I think that's kind of, really just kind of wasting time. I think that his play over the years, it really warrants him an opportunity. I think that a lot of politics happened, throughout the year where he might have felt slighted and what have you. And I think there's some hurt feelings. He, And obviously, he thinks he's the number one. And I actually like that confidence. And that's what, you know, wanted to go on to my next topic, which is about Eli.
Yeah.
And, you know, and here's what, you know, what it comes down to for me. I think Eli's still a good player. You know, I don't think, you know, he should be making $20 million a year. That's for sure. And, I agree with everything you said, John, in reference to him, you know, proving himself for another year, you know, and just not the best thing for the franchise at this time. But, you know, when I look around at all the other premier quarterbacks, whether it be Peyton Manning or, you know, Aaron Rodgers or what have you, what is, you know, it seems like that these guys could, you know, run this offense really with no matter what players on there. And they just kind of exude the, you know, when you work hard at your craft, you demand it of others too. And that's what I'm really just not seeing is the leadership. I would really love to hear Eli in the huddle. I mean, I know, you know, this was like made a joke a couple of years ago, but I just, you know, I don't really see him like, you know, it's just the golly shucks attitude that just really I feel like is not his best attribute.
Yeah, but I mean, Steve, I can tell you for sure that Eli Manning is the first guy in the building in the morning. He's the last guy out of night. He's here on his day off on Tuesday working on game tape. He calls individual meetings with the running backs, with the offensive line, with the receivers that he calls, he organizes, he leads during the week to make sure everybody's on the same page. Now, is he this big rah-rah vocal leader? No. But he certainly leads in terms of organizing those meetings, in terms of leading by example, in terms of leading by working hard. Those things he all certainly does, and he does in spades.
I wouldn't doubt anything you just said. You know, I'm just taking a little bit deeper. You know, I mean, I believe that he does his homework, you know, and that he does everything possible to try to, you know, help guys on the field. But, you know, what I just see, it really just kind of comes down to, you know, to attitude. And, I mean, not just Eli, the overall team. I'm just wondering, that's really what I wanted to talk about, is the attitude of the team and the identity of the team, John. Like, we, you know, like I always, you know, you always say, one of my things I say is we kind of play too much, you know, defense on offense as far as worrying about what the other team, you know, does. And it just seems like we've gotten, you know, completely away from the, you know, the Giants, you know, ways of, you know, really just basically, you know, imposing our will on the other team. And, you know, so I wanted to talk about, do you see, you know, from McAdoo, is he going to let Eli have, like, you know, truly a little bit more command without, you know, without all the, you know, the commotion going on and just, you know, really taking it back to where Eli's most successful, almost like in a backyard setting? You know, I just seem like other, you know, teams, even though Eli commands everything at the line, it just doesn't seem like it's his plays, really, or he's just playing his kind of ball at this time, you know, because he's lacking confidence. And, I'm just worried, concerned that he may not get his confidence back at this point. So,
I think McAdoo will give him leeway to change, you know, plays at the line of scrimmage the same way Gilbride does. I'm sure Eli is going to be in meetings with McAdoo during the week trying to put the game plan together. I'm sure Eli is going to work with McAdoo to meld what they've done before with what McAdoo wants to do. I'm sure Tom Coughlin will obviously be involved in those meetings as well. I think all of that, without a doubt, is going to happen moving forward. I think Eli will have a large hand in this offense moving forward and putting it together this year. I don't think there's any doubt that he'll be included big time.
Well, I hope so, because I think that's really where, you know, we'll have the most success. You know, I think we can be successful. He just has to get his confidence back, and obviously we got to get a little bit better protection, but certainly I don't want to overpay, you know, I don't want to extend or overpay him at this point. And the last thing I want to say, John, is I'm personally want to start the movement to bring Linvo Joseph back. You know, I've been considered a complete wrong message. This guy is still not even grown into his full capabilities, and I mean, he's been consistent throughout his whole time here. I tell you, he's, you know, he's a man, but I'll tell you, he's, once he gets an attitude and really, you know, and starts to get his mind, his man mindset, he's still a young guy. You know, I'm telling you, he's a very solid player. You know, he's one of the strongest players in the league, but you know, he's been consistent, and I don't see any reason in the world why we would give this guy up. I mean, i.e. Barry Cofield, you know, I think Shane was bringing that up, but you know, I just wanted to hear you talk about that a little bit more, you know, about the, you know, the direction of the organization. You know, what are we trying to say? I mean, you know, when you look at some teams, I mean, I know we have a Class A organization, but I want to hear them talking about the way they talk about the Seahawks. You know, oh, no question, absolutely want to be back. And the last thing I want to say is, tell me a little bit about Hakeem Nicks's agent, Don. And I'll listen off air, but I mean, do you think he may change his agent? You know, I know a lot of bad blood kind of happened over the year, and it was rumors that it was his agent. You know, can you tell me a little bit about his agent? And, you know, that's all I got. You know, have a great weekend. And, you know, thanks for letting me run my mouth. And I appreciate everybody who calls. So call in, get on Twitter, do your thing. Have a good one, John. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Steve. And we always obviously appreciate all the debate and conversation. I got to be honest with you. I'm not that familiar with Akeem Nix's agent, to be honest with you. I don't think it's one of the big guys out there. Neil, do you know who Akeem Nix's agent is off the top of your head? You don't, right? Neither do I. I'll do some research on that. I'll check it out. I'm honestly not sure who it is. I honestly don't think, Steve, there's much bad blood between him and the Giants. I really don't. In regards to Linval Joseph, I understand your point, is that you want to reward the guys that have played well for you and give them contracts. I don't disagree with that in theory. Here's the problem. The Giants have limited resources, and we know things that and positions in which they have huge holes in, whether it's the offensive line, huge hole, running back, huge hole, tight end, huge hole, second cornerback, huge hole. They don't have a huge hole at defensive tackle. Is Linval Joseph probably better right now than Jonathan Hankins and Marcus Kuhn? Sure. Heck, he might even be better than Colin Jenkins. I think that's close, though. I think Colin's still excellent. And by the way, I've seen some people out there say the Giants might have to let Colin Jenkins go to create some cap space. I think that'd be kooky talk. Never do it. Colin Jenkins was a leader last year. He was a mainstay in the line. I wouldn't touch him. Back to Linval Joseph. So with all these gigantic holes and absolutely no answers at these other positions, and you have somebody you drafted in the second round to step in and replace Linval, it's a sacrifice. It's a decision I wouldn't like to make and I wouldn't want to make, but it's a decision I think you have to make because you have a guy like Hankins, a guy like Marcus Kuhn, even a guy like Mike Patterson you can bring back at low money to fill that void at defensive tackle that Linval has played so well at the last couple of years. It stinks you have to let him go because he's a very good player. He's a good guy. He's a great kid. Good guy to talk to. Tries hard. Loves the game. Means well. Good work ethic. But with a guy like Hankins in house, he used a second-round pick on him. I think you have to use those resources elsewhere. But I get what you're saying, Steve. I really do. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris in Springfield. Chris, thanks for holding, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, John. How you doing today? How you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris.
I want to bring points, interesting points that you guys touched on. One being Akeem Nix and his situation. I really personally, and you can probably attest to this as well. I personally don't. I'm a big Ruben Randle fan, but I don't really think he's shown enough yet to the point where you can feel comfortable having him as a reliable number two receiver behind Cruz next year. I really feel with Hakeem's track record and where he's led us to the Super Bowl, I really feel like you should really bring him back, even though people are saying he wasn't motivated because of his contract. You know, he's avoiding injury. I just haven't seen it from Ruben yet to the point where I can rely on him to say, hey, give me 70 catches, over 1,000 yards. I don't know if you agree with me, but I don't see it.
Yeah, Chris, I will agree with one part of your statement and then disagree with the other part. The one part I'll agree on is that I agree. I don't think Ruben Randle has shown enough where you can say, yeah, you're going to plug him in, he's going to give you 65 catches, 950 yards, 8 touchdowns. I don't think he's shown you enough, especially in the second half of last season when he really became almost invisible. He went through that good stretch middle of the year. I think he had 6 touchdowns in 6 games, something like that. Then the last 6-7 games, he was basically invisible. And he really became invisible once Victor Cruz got hurt, and all of a sudden he's not drawing double teams, and Ruben Randle isn't having a lot of open space to work with. So I do agree with you. Randle hasn't shown enough. This is going to be a big-time show-me year for Ruben Randle. It's time for him to step up. However, here's the problem with Akeem Nix. I don't think it was an attitude thing with him. I don't think he didn't care. I don't think any of that stuff was true. Now, at times, like an example in that Cowboy game, was it disappointing he didn't play in that game? I think it really was, and I think he can't take a hit on that. That being said, to me, Akeem Nix's problem, is a physical one. He simply doesn't look like the same athletic guy that was here the first two or three years of his Giants career. Whether it was the knee injury back in 2012 that simply took something away he hasn't gotten back, or if it's something else, that worries me. And I have trouble investing a lot of money in a player that I think has been physically compromised. And to me, watching Akeem Nicks play, Chris, it looks like to me he's physically compromised.
Yeah, but you know how that goes when you let a guy go. The next thing you know, he signs with another team, he puts up big numbers, and I just don't want that to be the case. You know what I mean?
Now, Chris, I hear you, but I think you can get somebody to give you the same production Akeem Nicks gave you the last couple years for a lot less money than maybe Akeem Nicks would get on the free agent market.
Yeah. And another point is, I think you got it. And on the defensive side, they say it starts up front. A good defensive line and a good offensive line are key ingredients to success for your team. And I just feel like we're not that far off, considering the past few teams that won the Super Bowl have had the same formula as New York Giants. Tough up front on the offensive line, tough up front on the defensive line. I really feel like we're not that far away, considering the makeup and the formula we usually have to win Super Bowls.
Yeah, Chris, I'll say this. Last year in the offseason, and I agree with you, the Giants spent a lot of their money and resources on improving their run defense, and it worked wonders. They brought in Cullen Jenkins, John Beeson eventually, and their run defense became one of the best in the league. But I think they still need to get a little bit better rushing the passer. I didn't see quite enough consistent pass pressure last year, and I think this offseason the Giants will focus on the offensive line and try to get back to being a dominating front on that side of the ball. So I think you're right. I think the Giants do need to get better up front on both sides, and I think if you improve there, I do think it'll help you get back to the postseason.
All right. Thank you, John.
Hey, Chris, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yep.
201-939-4513. Rizzo, Mr. Felton, 23 on Twitter, makes a good point. Who are we willing to lose if we give Akeem Nicks the deal that he wants? That's what people should think about. And I think that is really well put. And like I've said, you only have finite resources. If you give a lot of money to Knicks, guess what? Linval's definitely gone. And who knows what you might have to do in terms of limiting your expenditures, either at cornerback or tight end or running back. So those are definitely things you need to consider. At NFL Gin, see these guys? This is why our Twitter followers on Giants Chat is the best. Knicks' agent is apparently J.R. Rickert. He says he's a good guy from his area. So there you go, J.R. Rickert. Not that familiar, I got to be honest with you. But I will do some work on it, see what I can figure out for you. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Bill in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Bill, what's going on?
Hey, John, how you doing?
What's up, Bill?
I just want to just touch on something you kind of brought up with Eli.
Yeah.
I remember years ago when he first started, and I'm at games, and I hear people screaming and yelling, "You stink, Eli. Get rid of this guy, blah, blah, blah." And all of a sudden, we start winning Super Bowls and whatnot, and everybody, Eli's their favorite player now. And then you have a bad season, and, people are questioning him and all that. And honestly, I got to say, I've been standing by him since day one, and I don't think any of this is really his fault. I think that the offensive line had a lot to do with it, which is, no question, everybody knows that, but I don't want to be like a Gilbride hater or anything. I like Kevin Gilbride. I think he did a good job, but I think a lot of it comes down to the play calling. I mean, we knew our offensive line had flaws last year. We should have changed. Kevin Gilbride should have changed the offensive scheme. And, it seems like he just stayed with the same conservative style that he was using. And, you can see the frustration in Eli's face, that he should have gave Eli more control over that offense and let him do his thing. It was too conservative, it seems like, the style of play that he was using. We should have really changed things up. And, we can't really put all that on Eli because I don't believe that it was his fault.
Oh, no, I agree, Bill, 100%. And that's the case that I've been making really all season, is that if you put the right pieces around Eli, whether it's consistent wide receivers, and I don't think Randall or Knicks were consistent this year. You put a better tight end with him that can also block. And more, most important, you put an offensive line in front of him that gives him time to throw a good pocket so we can actually survey the field and use his skills. I think Eli's certainly a good enough quarterback to bring you to two Super Bowls because that's what he did. So I agree. If you give Eli the help that he needs and the Giants have given him before, I think he's going to be good enough to win. But I want to make sure I'm right and wait a year. That's no insult to Eli. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, but I would rather not jump the gun on that and take the chance that I'm wrong now when I can wait a year since he's still under contract for two more seasons.
Oh, absolutely. No, I agree with that. But the thing is, though, is that at this point, I think that Eli has proven himself and he's done what he has to do, and I feel like that if the Giants organization doesn't give, you know, Eli the you know, what he needs to get the job done, then, you know, then and if it happens again, I don't think you still can put the blame on him. You know, if they're not going to give him what he needs, how can you expect him to do what he's got to do? You know, and like I said, with the conservative style of play, it's the most frustrating thing watching a game. And, you know, you see, you know, where it's like 3rd and 25, you know, and running like a draw play or something.
Yeah, but Bill, in fairness, a lot of people complained this year that they thought the Giants' offense remained too aggressive trying to go down the field once the offensive line fell apart. And a lot of people thought they should have been even more conservative, ran the ball more, thrown shorter passes because the offensive line wasn't playing well.
Yeah, no, I think once we got to that point, it was like, you know, let's do whatever we got to do here. But I think from the beginning, though, you know, like I wonder why don't we go to the hurry up more? You know, to throw the defense off. You know, when you see Eli in the hurry up when we're, you know, we're in the last 2 minutes of a game trying to come back and win. You know, he gets it done every time. You know, I think we should try stuff like that a little more often. And I think maybe, you know, the new offensive coordinator, I think, you know, he might bring that fire, you know, that that we really need to get things going again. And that's my hope. You know, I hope that this new personnel, you know, might make the difference. And the other thing, too, the tight end situation I think is a big thing. You know, if you remember, we had Kevin Bosch, Jake Ballard, and we had those guys, we had success. You know, but with Martellus Bennett and then this year with Brandon Myers, I really don't think either one of those two were that effective. And, it's, you know, historically, when Eli's had a good tight end, we've had more success. So I think that's something we got to look at, too. We got to get somebody solid in at tight end.
All right, Bill, thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it. And I think you make a great point on the tight end. And we talked a little bit about that yesterday with the tight end position. I think conservative is probably the wrong word that Bill was using to describe his issues with the offense. I think he was more talking about the Giants being too predictable, not necessarily conservative, considering how much they have thrown the ball down the field and tried to make the big play. So I think Bill was using the wrong word there, but I got where he was coming from. And he thinks they'll do a little bit more hurry up, do a little bit more quote-unquote modern things with the offense this year with Ben McAdoo as their offensive coordinator. And I'll buy that. As for the tight end position, first, a mea culpa on my part. I was working off a free agent list that had Greg Olsen as a free agent in 2013. One of our great tweeters brought to my attention last night. I want to give out the name and make sure I have it right here. I can't find it right now, but one of our good tweeters pointed out last night that I was wrong. He's under contract for 3 more years. I looked further into it. That is correct. He signed the 5-year contract in 2011. So Greg Olsen, not a free agent. My bad. Now, Elo H at Elo Bajo on Twitter wants to know about the Giants, if they're going to have a legit interest in Michael Finley. JerMichael Finley, excuse me. He saw that role was recruiting him. And I know a lot of Giant fans are excited about JerMichael Finley. And I get it. He's big. He's athletic. He's a receiver. He knows the Packers system. It seems like a good fit. He obviously played tight end with under McAdoo, who was a tight ends coach in Green Bay. I get all that. Guys, I've watched JerMichael Finley play a lot of football. I've talked to people that have seen JerMichael Finley play a lot of football. He would drive Giant fans nuts. He gives up on routes. He drops passes. He's maddeningly inconsistent. He's never taken full advantage of his athletic ability. He plays in the slot just as often as he plays on the line of scrimmage. He's not a great blocker. And I get he can still improve. He can still get better. I think he's only 28 years old, but he is coming off a serious neck injury. That's something you have to worry about, though. He seems to think he's going to be better and going to be able to play next year. But at one point, a couple months ago, people thought his career might be over. So those are all, to me, red flags. And if you can get him and not break the bank for him, yeah, I'll roll the dice on my on JerMichael Finley. But I don't know. A lot of things about JerMichael Finley scare me. To me, there are a lot of red flags there. Now, they can get former Phoenix Sun and San Antonio Spurs Michael Finley in his prime, which I keep trying to call him. I'd be in favor of that. Very underrated dunker, Michael Finley, back in the day. Ween Windmill Jam. That one's for you on Twitter, Mike Farmer. 201-939-4513. We're going to go to Kayshawn. What's going on, Kayshawn? Kayshawn's in Maryland. Good morning.
Hi, it's Kushan. And first, hi, Lance. I'm a big fan. I hardly ever call because I'm a teacher. And I just want to say that I love the show. I listen to the podcast daily. I live in the D.C. metropolitan area. But I was listening to the podcast a few days ago, the last 3 days, and I got so frustrated and I had to call in.
About what?
I love the show, but I wanted to say that we need to stop with the Hakeem Nicks signings and praises and stuff like that. I mean, it's getting a bit ridiculous. And to people, because I live in the D.C. area, this is really directed towards people like Steve and Shakes. You guys sound like a Redskins fan.
Strong words.
And I want them to think about that for a moment, because I love football and I talk about football all the time and I work with Redskins fans. And the constant praise for players who don't deserve it, players who are only name only, players who have not been performing. I mean, you want to give $8, $9, $10 million to a guy that has not done nothing in 3 out of the 5 years that he's been for us. I mean, that's what Redskins fans do, that every year is our year. We don't even have a running back. I hardly hear them calling. We have no running game. You want to go to the Super Bowl talking about, yeah, we signed Hakeem Nicks. Everything's going to get better. No, we don't even have a running back. You need defense and running game to be successful in this thing. Have you looked at the Seattle Seahawks and the 49ers? So, no, like, we need to stop. We're supposed to be Giants fans. We're supposed to be one of the most intelligent, level-headed, objective fans out there. And I think that the Redskin aroma and the mystique is starting to rub off of them, because that's how Redskins talk. I had to literally, like, check the website and make sure that this was a Giants website that I was listening to, because they sound so much like Redskins. The New York Football Giants pay people based on performance. Just like Ann saying, we always want to make fun of Ann, but like she said, what have you done for me lately? Hakeem Nicks has not done anything for us lately. Yes, he had those two great years in 2010 and 2011 where he got over 1,000 yards. That's great. Good job. Wonderful. But the other 3 years, and the guy can't even stay healthy. So you want to pay $8, $9, $10 million who, A, has not performed to the level of a first round, and B, you're not even sure that he's going to play the 16 games that you need him for. It's ridiculous. No, you need to draft a wide receiver. And I just want to say this. We need running back, tight end, 3 offensive linemen, corner, wide receivers, linebackers, probably another defensive end. Even if we do keep Justin Tucker, we still need a defensive end, because JPP is coming off back surgery. You don't even know if he's going to come back to where he was. All these things are not going to be solved in a year. Okay, the Giants are about 2 or 3 years from really being Super Bowl contenders. And you got to hope that we can even make the playoffs. So, I mean, we just need to stop. I'm just really getting annoyed, because, like I said, I take pride in the New York Giants, and I don't want to sound like Redskins fans. I don't want to sound like Cowboys fans thinking that we're God's team and that because we have the mystique and what we did in the 90s that we're somehow going to make it. No. You need defense, you need a running game, you need a quarterback that doesn't lead the league in interceptions. You need wide receivers that can catch the ball and stay healthy to be successful.
That's
all I wanted to say.
I agree with 99.9% of everything you just said, and it seems like this has been building up for a while here, that you've kind of been, you know, this anger has been building, and you've been waiting to unleash it in one fell swoop, but I thought you did a great job. I was entertained.
Thank you. Like I said, I listen to you guys daily. I never have time to call because I teach, but like I said, after hearing the past 3 or 4 days, I'm like, you know, enough is enough, and like I share office with the Redskins fan, and yesterday when I was listening to the podcast, I was like, no, this is ridiculous. They sound like Redskins fans. He was like, yeah, that did kind of sound familiar. I'm like, yeah, I need to call, because we need to stop. We are not Redskins fans. The Redskins, every year is their year. You know how they treat RG3? RG3 had that year last year, or not last year, the year before his rookie year, where he came and he took the league by storm. He was great. Do you know all these Redskins fans thought they were going to the Super Bowl and that they were just going to go crash the league because what RG3 did?
Yep.
And they're going to ride RG3 to the wheels fall off, and there's no guarantee that he's going to play like he did last year. And that's how Steve and Shake sound like Hakeem Nicks. Oh, let's just give the guy a chance because he did that for us 2 years ago. In 2010, 2011. That was 4 years ago. So, I don't want to hold up your line, but like I said,
oh,
if I have
man.
Time, this is my plan up here. I enjoyed the show. I just wanted to get that off my chest. And a tight end, I think if my last comment, if we're going to get a tight end, I want to go and get these former basketball players because the Jimmy Grahams, we need somebody that's going to be here, you know, for 4 or 5 years. I'm not a fan of Finley, nor am I a fan of the Buffalo tight end. Those guys aren't
Chandler.
Reliable. We just need to go ahead and build in a drive, and it's just going to take a couple of years. We're not going to solve all these things in a year. So thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Kashawn. That was fantastic.
Bye-bye.
That was, I think, probably one of my favorite calls in the past 2 weeks. She knew what she wanted to talk about. She called in, and she delivered. And I'm waiting for Steve to call back. Steve does not like when people call him out. Maybe Shakes will call him, too. But look. Everything she said about Hakeem Nicks, I think, probably said a little bit coarser than I would have phrased certain things. But with her basic concept, I agree. I think there are way too many holes elsewhere, and Hakeem Nicks has not done enough the last 2 years to garner a huge investment and a big contract. Great call. Excellent call. 201-939-4513. Let's go to our good buddy Jeff up in Rhode Island, who has a tough act to follow. Jeff, good morning.
Yeah, I guess you're right about that, buddy. But
how's it going, buddy?
sometimes one needs to be coarse.
Yes, that is true.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want Hakeem Nicks back either. I mean, the guy hasn't done anything in 2 years, and he's injury plagued now. I think he's done physically. I just don't think he can do it anymore. You certainly can't. Be throwing all kinds of money at him, hoping that he'll be okay. You just can't do it. That's not how you run a successful business. You can't hope the guy's going to be okay and expend a lot of money on him. In regards to your comments about Eli, yeah, I'm on board with everything you said about that. That's pretty much the way I think about things as well. And, of course, if they do bolster the offensive line, I know that he'll, I mean, I don't think he'll be back. I know he'll be back. I mean, look, you know, the quarterback does not play by himself out there. That's, you know, the basic thing everybody has to understand. You surround him with the right talent, and he's going to be fine because he has the talent. End of that story. Jerry Reese has really got a lot on his plate this year.
Oh, boy. This is the most important offseason Jerry Reese has had since he's been here. And
yeah.
I could go as far to say, I think, Jeff, it's a make-or-break offseason for Jerry Reese, considering some of the draft failures that John Mara mentioned
right.
in his postseason press conference. With all this
mm-hmm.
cap space, picking 12th in the first round, you got to make
yeah.
these investments and these draft picks count this year. You have to, or this team's going to be in big trouble the next couple of years.
You're absolutely correct. And if I was Jerry, I mean, I'm sure somehow or other Mr. Mara put him on notice for this 2014 season.
I think everyone's on notice, Jeff, from top to bottom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If I was Jerry, I'd be sweating bullets right now. But I think that lady, the previous caller, said something about Redskins or Roma. I'm not sure what that is. But I've been down to FedEx Field a couple of times to see the Giants, and I can tell you one thing. There's some fans down there that know how to drink.
well, Jeff, I'll say this. I think what she meant by sounding like Redskin fans and Redskin aroma and all that stuff is that the Redskins every year since Dan Snyder's been an owner, right, where they're signing
yeah.
Deion Sanders,
yeah.
who's over the hill, the big money.
Yeah.
Bruce Smith they brought in. When he was over the hill, they gave him all that money. And they invest
exactly.
all this money in all these guys because they think they're just one or two players away from winning a championship. And that prevents you from making prudent long-term decisions to help the long-term health of your franchise. And I think what Kashawn was talking about is not making those types of mistakes that'll cost you 2 or 3 years from now. And I think those are the type of mistakes that she wants the Giants to avoid.
Oh, sure. I mean, I agree. I was just trying to make a joke. But, yeah, as long, you know, because just because a guy has a lot of money to throw around doesn't mean that he knows football. And, you know, Jerry Jones and Danny Snyder are two prime examples of that. You know, if you're not, you're either a football guy or not. Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you know what you're doing. So
I'm with you, Jeff. I appreciate the call, pal.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead. Finish up. What do you got?
If you could, you know, I tried to, I wanted to buy that DVD of Marty Glickman, because he's the one that actually got me hooked on the Giants. I used to listen to him on the radio back in the 60s. And according to Michael Eisen, it was available for sale as a DVD, but it's not. It's just a like an instant download type thing
right.
at Amazon. You know, you pay for it and you watch it on your computer or whatever. But anyways, I'm hoping that becomes available on a DVD because I would like to purchase that. So.
Well, Jeff, you know what? I'm going to put you on hold here. My man Dan is going to give you my email address. I might be able to find something for you, all right? So just pop me an email and we'll go from there, all right?
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Roldy in Bayshore. He's been holding the longest. Roldy, good morning.
Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good, good. I understand, you know, some fans, you know, are trying to, you know, hold on to Linval Joseph, you know, trying to, you know, wanting the Giants to re-sign him. I just feel like, you know, with, you know, drafting a guy like Jonathan Hankins last year, you know, that's waiting to, you know, to get a shot, even though he played a little bit last year. But, you know, having him there, you know, if Linval Joseph is not going to come back out our number, it just doesn't make sense for us to just, you know, throw money at him. And just like you said, especially we got to take care of the linebacking position, you know, the defensive line. You know, I'm not willing to spend that money on a person that's not going to come back at our number. Especially, I think Jonathan Hankins is only on his rookie contract.
That's correct.
He has 3 years left, right?
Yes.
So why am I going to pay a guy that's not going to come back at our money? And I think other teams are going to throw money at him. So if the other team is going to be willing to pay a lot for him, he might as well just go over there. But I'm not one of those guys that's willing to re-sign a guy, you know, that's not going to come back at our number, you know. And as far as, you know, Hakeem Nicks, you know, that's another guy. You know, I'm not, you know, willing, you know, I'm not, I hope the Giants don't re-sign the guy, you know. And or if we do throw the franchise tag on him, how much money is he going to get if we do the franchise tag on him?
If you franchise Nicks, you're asking, or Linval Joseph?
Yeah.
Nicks?
Hakeem Nicks.
You're looking at $10-plus million.
Yeah, then we might as well not even do that. We just let him walk.
It's ridiculous.
You know, just like you said, John, we have a lot of holes to fill. We got to take care of the linebacking position. You know, if John Beeson leaves, we're screwed a little bit on the linebacking core. We have to take care of him. We got to take care of Justin Tuck at our number. You know, yes, he did a lot. He's a homegrown Giant. We you know, I would like to see him stay, but he has to come back at our number. If not, we have tons of holes. Most Giants fans have to realize we have a lot of holes to fill. Just because a guy had a good, you know, last year, 2 years ago, doesn't mean that we have to, you know, break the bank for the guy, especially if we have holes to fill. We have holes to fill. We need to take care of the main things, the defensive line, you know, the offensive line, the running back. We don't have none of that stuff, you know. Like the girl was saying, we got to take care of the running back position. You know, right now I know a lot of fans, you know, want Hakeem Nicks back, want Linval Joseph. We got Jonathan Hankins. We drafted him last year. If he's going to give us the same production that Linval Joseph gave us last year, that's great. He's 3 more years at a cheap contract. That's great. And that's, you know, I just want Giants fans to realize that. Those guys, we got to stop thinking about, you know, trying to sign the flashy name guys like Jermichael Finley. You know, yes, he's a good player, but I would rather get a guy like Andrew Quarles, you know, from the Packers, you know. He's almost similar to, you know, Bennett, you know, when he was behind, you know, Witten, and then he came to our system and he played a little bit better. You know, if Andrew Corliss is going to come for cheap, I'd rather go for that guy. I don't want to break the bank on big name. That's all I had to say. Thank you for taking my call, though.
Hey, I appreciate it, Roldy. Thanks so much. And you're right, that's the thing. If you can get the same type of production from Hankins, or even slightly less production from Hankins than you got from Joseph, but you get it at a quarter of the price, I think that's the key, or even a fifth of the price or a sixth of the price, depending on how much Linval Joseph gets in free agency. And I think you hit it on the head, and that's why I think as much as it stinks to have to let a guy like Linval Joseph go, You have to, because you have a replacement in-house. Pierre in Dallas was on the line. He just wanted to drop a note, didn't want to get on the air. A little upset at Kishon for dogging his Cowboys. Well, the bottom line, Pierre, is that your organization, unfortunately, has made a lot of decisions that might deserve a little bit of dogging. But fair enough. Pierre, one of our good callers. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Eric in North Dakota. Eric, long time no speak, buddy. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, all? Long time, yeah. Been busy at work, so just wanted to take a call about this. One of my first couple questions is this. Who do you think, Mance, would Giants will resign with the team? And my other question is, what about the free agency? What do you think? Who do you think we should get?
Well, I think it depends. Well, let me put it this way. The number one priority still got to be offensive line to protect Eli Manning. That's number one. That has to be the first thing you worry about, is getting in at least one proven, top-notch offensive lineman that you know can do what needs to be done to protect your quarterback. All right? That's number one. That has to be your first priority. You have to figure out what you're doing at the running back position, because right now you can't trust David Wilson, and he's your only running back under contract. So you have to get somebody else in here that you think can carry a load for you. Now, maybe you think that's Andre Brown. I'm not so sure, but you have to pick up a running back somewhere in free agency, I think, there. I think you also have to pick up a tight end in free agency, unless you're going to draft one in, like, the first round of the draft, which I don't think is very, very likely. So I think those are three areas in free agency, in terms of guys from outside of the organization to bring in, are three of your top priorities. Now, defensively, you also have to worry about bringing back Justin Tuck, and bringing back John Beeson. So if I had to label your five big things in free agency you got to do, I think those are your top five. You can also sprinkle in a second cornerback, though I still think that might be a draft deal, and you can also sprinkle in bringing in a wide receiver as well, something the Giants might have to look at.
That was good. Also, I have a question. The other question that I have right now is the status of Victor Cruz and what is his status on his injury? Is he going to be ready for next season?
Yeah, I saw Victor walking around at the NFL Awards dinner. He wasn't in a boot. He wasn't on crutches. He was walking around. He looked absolutely fine. That knee procedure is considered a pretty minor one. It was just a debridement procedure in which they clean out a lot of cartilage from that knee. So, to me, that's not considered a serious injury. I believe the team thinks he's going to be full go when the players report in the middle of April. So I wouldn't worry about Victor Cruz. He's going to be good to go.
All righty, lads. Thank you, and I love your show, and I'll keep you guys in touch.
I appreciate it. Thanks, man. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. That's Eric in North Dakota. I'm sorry. John Schmelk with you on Big Blue Kickoff Live right here at Giants.com. It's funny. Mike Garofalo always used to joke with Lance and I, who now works for Fox Sports 1, that we sound exactly alike. Apparently, it's happening again. It's all good, though. If I was going to be confused with anybody, I'll live with being confused with Lance, but don't let him know that I said that. 201-939-4513. Tony's in Staten Island. Tony, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John, I'm a first-time caller. I just want to say I worked the overnights, and when I discovered your program last year on the iPod, I had tons of fun at work listening to Giant football for hours upon hours with their iPod. I want to say first, we'll definitely restructure Eli Manning now. I went through the Dave Brown, Danny Cannell years. I do not want to think about life after Eli.
No, that's fair.
And going through those years again.
Now, but in fairness, Tony, he does have 2 years left. So even if you don't restructure him now, you can do it after this upcoming season, still having a year on his contract.
I get that, but we also get that. You said if we take care of Rolls' contract, we might get $5 or $6 million more, then you add maybe 15 to Eli's. We can take care of most of our needs now. We could do what the 49ers used to do, not rebuild, but reload.
No, I hear you. I don't think you need a complete tearing down here. You still have a lot of pieces. I think Eli is still one of those pieces. Obviously, Victor Cruz. You bring Beeson back. You have Prince on defense, too. Anchor Roll is a keeper. You hope Jason Pierre-Paul can recover from this injury and become a keeper. You have a staple on the offensive line in Justin Pugh. You hope Will Beatty, who signed long-term, can bounce back. You hope Ruben Randall becomes something. So, Tony, in that I agree with you. I don't think this is a situation where you got to blow this thing up. But I do think it's more than a lot of quick, easy fixes. I do think there are significant improvements and changes that need to be made personnel-wise.
I hear that. Second, about someone said they didn't see enough for Ruben Randle. I disagree with that. Ruben Randle had a good stretches of games where he was an impact player, and I feel that with our new offensive coordinator, one, the system is going to be simpler. Gilbride ran a very complicated system, and I think that had a lot to do with the miscommunication between Eli and Ruben and those interceptions. I think Eli might have even lost a little confidence knowing that he threw so many interceptions going Ruben's way. So I think with Ruben entering his third year, the breakout year for a wide receiver, and this new system, I think he will be the number two wide receiver that we need.
Hey, look, and this is the year he's got to show it. And the Giants will give him the opportunity to show it and give him the opportunity, I think, to win that number two wide receiver job, even if they do bring in somebody at a lower cost in free agency. I think Ruben Randle will have every opportunity to win that number two spot, and he simply can't make the same type of mistakes that he's made in the past in terms of not fighting for the football as much as he should in certain situations, running better routes, and being on the same page as Eli. All those things have to happen. Look, it's all in front of Ruben Randle. He's going to have every opportunity here to earn that playing time. And, you know, he's going to be competing with Jarrell Jernigan now, who's had a couple good games to close out last season. He still has to prove it long-term to me. And whatever veteran the Giants decide to bring in free agency, or Hakeem Nicks, if they bring him back at a low cost, Ruben Randle has every opportunity here to show the Giants he can be a starting wide receiver. He just has to seize it and do it.
All right. I agree with the two or three calls before. I do not want to bring Hakeem Nicks back. I mean, I've been his biggest backer until that Dallas game. Even Miles Austin, who's always tearing up his hamstrings, even he, when he's injured, can go on the field and be a distraction at least. Nicks can even at least do that from that. Between that and his always injuries, it's just time to move on. He was a great Giant. He did a lot of good things for us in that Super Bowl run last time, but it's time to move on.
I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot, Tone.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take it easy. I got Doug Borington, the ladies of Big Blue Kickoff are the best, so passionate about our team, got to love it. And NFL Jins wants to know if Kashawn is single. Jeez. Oh, man. 201-939-4513. I love our listeners. They're great. Our callers are great, too. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on, pal? How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Just listening and tuning in with everybody else there. I said I love the way our defense played last year, and I'm repeating myself. I think if we get a shutdown corner and keep our defense intact, we'll be fine. And we only need a couple guys up front to block for Eli, and we got a max protect and for him. Get some tight ends, even if they have to be guards or so, to put the max protect, and get a speed receiver for when the safeties come up, that they can't just come up because they got to worry about him burning by, and I don't think Nicks could do that. And the way we played against Seattle when Eli was there, the receivers were fighting for the ball, and Seattle's defensive backs, they looked like the receivers. They were in better position. So I really think with the way our team is that we have to max protect, get a speedy receiver, to keep them honest, like someone like Hickson. I liked him because he could blow by him and he could return. So
yeah, and you know what? I think, Joe, that they wanted Lewis Murphy Jr. to be that guy, but that never materialized. I agree. I think, and I forget which caller brought it up first. I think it was Tim in Jackson that brought it up a couple weeks ago. I think bringing a guy like Ted Ginn Jr. to be your speedster outside, beat guys deep, but at the same time be your kickoff and punt return guy, and give you a weapon on special teams. I think a guy like Ted Ginn Jr. would be a perfect addition to this team and give them a lot of different aspects that could really turn this team into a more dynamic offense and special teams unit.
I agree, and I think that's where Eli tried to do too much by himself last year to make up for what we don't have in offense, and we can't. We got to max protect, get some good tight ends, even if they can only block. Someone like Howard Cross again. You know, he could block and then sneak out for a pass now and then. And you can find guys like that. Max protect, no turnovers, play good defense, and get a speedster in case the safeties come up from Seattle. You know, they have to be a little whatever. If he breaks loose off the line, that there's nobody there, that they can keep them safeties honest and Just don't turn the ball over, and we're in the game. And I think we can get all that. That's not that much to ask for a couple guys.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate the call, bud.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a good one. And, you know, I don't think you need to have a Jimmy Graham tight end that's going to catch 80 balls, but I do think you need a guy that can block. Now, I'll be interested to see how important tight end blocking is going to be in the new offensive system, too. Maybe that's going to change a little bit. Maybe you only need a guy that blocks a little bit but is more of a receiver. I don't know how Ben McAdoo is going to utilize the position. I know Tom Coughlin likes his tight ends to be able to block in the running game and pass protect, but maybe this new offensive system will be a little bit different. And as Mike Farmer pointed out on Twitter, maybe we need to wait and see a little bit exactly what this offensive system is going to be. And the one thing Ben McAdoo said many times, and when I've heard him speak, is that he's going to form, create, mold this offense around the talent that he has. So I don't think he's going to try to fit square pegs in the round holes. 201-939-4513. And there he is. We'll have him be quick about it, but Steve in Washington, D.C. wants to give his defense to his fellow Mid-Atlantic
Man,
state person.
Listen,
what do you have to say
I'm
to Kashawn, Steve?
I'm not even going to try to defend that. First of all, I'm going to say thank you for calling in, Kashawn, and learn me, lady. Because let me tell you something. I agree with her. I agree with just about everything she said. But here's what she's missing a point. First of all, I'm loyalty to Hakeem, you know, and a couple players who we just grow fond of over the years. But, I mean, she made very valid points. I'm not even going to argue that. And I'm fan enough to know, and a Giants fan, first of all, that's the only thing that offended me. You know, I'm born in Harlem, raised in Queens, been in D.C. since 97. Hit me up on Twitter, NewBro1, you probably already know me. So anyway, I'm serious, you know, D.C. small like that, I probably already know her. But anyhow, you know, especially if she's a true Giants fan, you know, we only meet at a couple places, John. And so, D.C. is a very small city, so.
I'm telling you, I need to talk somebody down there and create, we can have Lennon Maryland come, we can have Steve come, Kashawn can show up, Shakes can make an appearance. We have a lot of D.C. people down there. We can get Ed in Maryland. I haven't heard from Ed or Big Ed
exactly.
In Maryland for a while, and for that matter. We get all you guys together and have like a big giant conflagration. I think it'd be fun.
There you go. But, John, the point I was trying to say, you know, earlier is what, you know, sometimes I get carried away and really forget what my main point is. And I think it's about coaching philosophy. I think, you know, it really came down to coaching. I'm one of those guys who think that we've always had a pretty good roster, and I just felt like we never put the players in the best position to be successful. And that's what I'm really hoping to see, because I believe we have the talent. We have, you know, I mean, you know, it's hard to get it right all the time, but, I mean, we do have NFL-quality players, and I just think that they, you know, with being so predictable and, you know, I think the players lost the confidence in the play calling and, you know, everybody. Eli, and, you know, it was just kind of pandemonium. And I just don't like making a bunch of wholesale changes, but I do agree we can't overspend on Hakeem because we do. We need a lot of other things, you know, linebacker, offensive line. So I understand all that. You know, I know that people hear me every single day, but I'm definitely not a Redskins fan, and I keep it real.
Thank you,
so,
Steve.
Just because my heart's in it, thanks a lot, and tell him, Kashawn, get on Twitter and holler at us. Okay, everybody have a good weekend.
Steve. Thank you.
Thanks.
Steve wasn't even on Twitter too like a month ago, and now he's like telling people to get on Twitter to chat. I love it. He's just trying to get that Redskins stench off of him. I get that. This show's been fun today. I got to say, you guys on the phone's doing a great job. 201-939-4513. James is in Philly. Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, good morning. I've been listening to the show online, and I'm down here in Eagles territory. But
that's
got to
be rough.
Fan. I'm a Giants fan, born in New York, raised in Philly.
Got it.
Only one of my family stayed loyal to the Giants. I bleed blue. But noticing, I'm on the outside looking in, but I noticed the Eagles, they leapfrogged to the top of the division. And I noticed it was from their offensive line. They made Nick Foles look like Joe Montana. He's just an average quarterback. So what do you think the Giants need to do in order to be competitive in the division?
Well, I think one of the reasons the Eagles are a lot better this year, to be quite honest, is that they protected their quarterback a lot better. Last season, or I guess two seasons ago now, Michael Vick, for the most part, is running for his life. Granted, the Eagles had about four or five injuries on an offensive line. It was an absolute disaster. But this year, they stayed relatively healthy. They drafted an offensive tackle with their first pick in the draft, and they played a lot better on the offensive line, and they gave Nick Foles time to tear apart defenses, and he did just that. He was accurate, and he didn't make mistakes. That was the most, I think, poignant thing about Nick Foles' season, the thing that stuck out the most, his lack of turnovers. He protected the football. And I think if you give Eli better protection, you give him time to survey the field, and then he's a little bit more cautious with the ball. He turns it over less, but it all starts with up front. And I think that's where the Eagles are better this year, up front offensively. They're also a little bit better, I think, up front defensively in terms of stopping the run. And I think on both sides of the ball, but the offensive line specifically, that's where the Giants need to get better. If they significantly improve their offensive line next year, give Eli more time, get the running game going, I think the Giants can make the same type of leap that the Eagles made last year.
Yes, definitely agree. Now, that leads to my next question.
Yeah.
Do you think that in the draft that the Giants will lean more offensive than defensive? Or is it hard to say at this point?
Let's see what they do in free agency first. I think it's hard to say right now. I believe overall in this offseason, if you want to put free agency and the draft together into one big bowl, they'll make more moves on the offensive side of the ball than they will on the defensive side of the ball. To me, the only moves they have to make on defense is either re-sign Justin Tuck or add another defensive end, one or the other, re-sign John Beeson, maybe add another impact linebacker in one way, shape, or form, and then add a second cornerback. That, to me, is all they have to do on defense. Now, it's still a pretty long list, but that's what they have to do defensively. Offensively now, they got to add, I think, three offensive linemen, find a starting running back, find a starting tight end, and add a second or third wide receiver. So I think there's a lot more work to do on offense, so I think you'll have more changes on that side of the ball, which makes sense considering how much the Giants struggled on offense last year.
Yes. Now, with the Giants picking 12th, who do you think their selection should be if they're available, if you had to choose?
I think taking a top corner in that first round, the Gilbert kid, I think is somebody you look at. If one of those top linebackers dropped to 12, I think that's something you look at. I think depending on what you do in free agents in the offensive line, if you still feel you have a big hole there and you want to take an offensive tackle and slide Pugh inside, I think you can do that. Considering it's Jerry Reese, I would never take a pass rusher out of the equation, considering how much he likes to take pass rushers early. I would never discount that, but I think it's less likely this season. And I also think it's possible, though unlikely, that they'll take a wide receiver or a tight end at that spot. So I would say corner, offensive line, and maybe a linebacker. But I think corner or offensive line right now, to me, are the most likely areas the Giants would address in that spot.
Okay. Now, I've been listening to the callers, and I'm just baffled at what is this love affair with Hakeem Nicks? That is just really, he has shown me nothing in the last few years. Last year, he had zero touchdowns. I mean, I can come up, I could come up there and score a touchdown.
No, I hear you, and I think what it is, honestly, Jim, is that Giant fans remember well what he did for them to win that Super Bowl. And he, you know, as much as anybody else that year, was the reason they won that Super Bowl. And I think Giant fans remember that. And they remember him fondly because of that. He's a guy that's homegrown. He got drafted. And you get connected to those players. He's been a tough guy. He's kind of reflected that New York attitude of playing through injuries. And I think that's why Giant fans have grown attached to him. I understand that. He was a big part of his Super Bowl. But like you said, like Ann from D.C. likes to say, at some point, it's what have you done for me lately? And in the last two seasons, like you just said, James, Hakeem Nicks has not been the player he was when he helped them win a Super Bowl back in 2011-2012.
Yeah. But I love your show. I've been listening to it online. It's hard to get radio stations down here. Every station down here is Eagles. I just get so tired of it, but it's just refreshing to hear them talk about my team, the New York Giants, which is, they have so much history, and it's so, I look back at all the coaches and players that come from there, people don't even know how much rich in history this football team is.
James, we're happy to do it for you, buddy. Thanks for the call.
All right. You're welcome.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. We have two callers on the line. We'll take them, and then we will say goodbye. We'll take them in the order in which they were received. Frank has been holding the longest. He's down in Tampa Bay. Frank, good morning. How you been?
Good, John. And yourself?
I'm doing great, Frank.
Great, great. You know, thinking about what you've been talking about here earlier on, I just came in kind of late, but so if someone's already said what I have to say, please excuse me. But as far as Eli's concerned, and, you know, and extending him or not, and your impression there, and I, you know, and thinking about it just for the last few minutes, and I want to promulgate a theory and see
sure.
what you think about it. I think that we have – well, let me give you a little background. I'd say that there are at least half the teams in this league basically have no quarterback and none on the horizon.
Honestly, so, I would say, Frank, it's probably down to a third now. There are a lot of pretty good quarterbacks out there. I'd say there's probably 8 to 10 teams right now that, quote-unquote, don't have a quarterback.
Okay, and I'll buy that, except for the fact – a good quarterback or someone, can you actually see this person holding that trophy over their head? Then I go down to about 50.
All right, I think that might be fair.
Okay, so taking that into consideration, you know, and thinking about Eli, you know, growing older, et cetera. But, you know, I don't see quarterbacks as, you know, pitchers. I don't think they suddenly lose it one day and, you know, and can't do it anymore. And I think, I know you spoke about Carson Palmer. Thing with Palmer is Palmer never did it. You know, it's a little different than I think the situation we have. And so,
well,
you know,
I think that's fair, Frank. I think on top of that, too, to just frankly further bolster your point, Carson Palmer also had a serious shoulder injury, which might have taken some
right.
zip off of his fastball, too.
Right. Uh-huh. But we've, you know, but we, to replace Eli, you know, we'd have to go 4-12 or something like that, you know, sometime in the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years to have a shot at somebody that we really would feel confident in doing it. So obviously we hope that's not going to be the case, and that's not the Giants' way. I don't think that's going to, you know, I don't think that's going to happen. So basically the way I see it is all of our eggs are in Eli's basket. So now, you know, what do we do with him? And here's the way I see it. I see that we don't want to go back to the 90s, you know, where we got Cannell, we got Warner, Collins, you know, I think we have a very unique situation, and I think it's completely unique, and that is that we have a quarterback who has shown that you just have to get him there. We don't need the Patriots of, you know, of 07. We don't need the Broncos of this past year. You know, we don't need the, you know, the Packers or the Saints of a few years back. We don't need to win 14 games. We don't need to set passing records. We need to get our butt to the playoffs, and we don't need Seattle's home field advantage. That's the amazing part. We need to finish sixth. If we finish sixth, we have a shot, and a good shot. And so Eli's shown he can do it. He's completely unique in that respect. And so the way I see it is Jerry Reese and company have to look and say, okay, with the money we have and the moves that we can make with that money and the draft, do we feel that we can get ourselves to that sixth or better seed next year? If we can, then we move ahead. If we can't, then we extend Eli. We get that extra money that can put us there. If they think that it's impossible no matter what with either one, then we don't, and we save the money, and we target the next year or the year after. Because the time of the dynasty is over. You know, we're not going to win 5 Super Bowls in a row. We're not going to win 3. Hopefully we can win one every 4 years or so, or every 3 years, by getting to the playoffs. I believe that's all we have to do. And I believe, again, we're completely unique in that because we have a quarterback who becomes the second coming if you can get him there. And we have a team that doesn't appear to need a home field advantage. So I feel that we have to target a particular season and then make the moves that are required to get us, you know, in that season, everything that we need. And I believe we're probably real close this year. I'm not a GM. I don't know. But I was just curious as to what you thought about, because I just were sitting here listening. It kind of came to me. And I do believe that we have, you know, something that nobody else really has.
Now, Frank, you know what? I think that's fair, and I think you've just made probably the best argument you could make against my opinion. What I would do, I would still wait the season and extend them. I would still do that simply because I believe the risk of investing $20 to $25 million in one player when you're not sure if he's the guy at this point, I think it's a little too risky. But you obviously think he is the guy, and I get your point. You know, just do enough to get into the playoffs and then move on, and you know, you hope Eli can bring you home. But I do think it is risky to a certain extent to always put yourself in the position every year going into the playoffs where you have to win two games on the road, minimum. Maybe even three if you end up being the sixth seed, two if you end up being the three or the four seed and win the division. And I get they've done it before. They've done it before, and Eli can do it again. But I think you're asking a lot to, in the divisional round, go 2-1 or 2 seed to win a game, and then in the championship round, going 2-1 and 2 a seed and winning a game. I think that's asking a lot, and to put yourself in that position and to count on that, I think can sometimes get you into a little bit of trouble. So I'd like to try to get out there and win 11 or 12 games, and if it takes 2 years to build to that, I'm okay with that, because I think going in as the sixth seed every year and, you know, closing your eyes and rolling the dice, I think that can be a little bit risky.
Oh, and I certainly think it is. But then trying to, you know, get to the point in this day and age with the short contracts, you know, we've been talking
right.
the last week or so about these 1 year deals and all, it's almost impossible to put together something that you can keep together, you know, for 4 or 5 years. And also the alternative to not having Eli, I don't see one. You know, I mean, it's scraping the bottom of the barrel again and trying to find something. I just think it's a more realistic goal, and it's something that to me is attainable, as opposed to trying to, you know, rip everything apart. And then and we saw this year, winning, you know, and we saw it in 07, setting those records, you know, and winning 15 or trying to win them all, whatever, it's useless expenditure of energy as far as I'm concerned. It's like leading the league in scoring, you know, in the NBA or something. What's the purpose of it? Or winning, you know, winning 72 games for, you know, just seems to tire people out. So it just seems like a more realistic goal. And two things quick. Could I would you mind if I said hello? I don't know him, but I grew up in Bayshore, and I hear Roldy calling in all the time. I grew up on Saxon Avenue there, if I could possibly say hello to him.
Go ahead.
And
what else you
well,
got, Frank?
Thank you. And hello, Roldy. And also, you know, John, you go to training camp and all. You don't have that luxury. But to prove my point, I went out yesterday with my son and tried throwing him about 25 balls. He's 11 years old, high, low, at his feet. Put some obstacles in the way, some other kids. But when you're out there, tell me something. For elite NFL athletes to not be able to catch a screen pass, do you see them, I mean, in practice, do they actually drop them? I mean, I just, you know, a ball coming at you from, you know, 9 yards away, half the time lobbed. I mean, do they catch them in practice?
No, they
do.
Yeah, generally speaking, you won't see many drop screen passes in practice. And I think the difference, Frank, is that in practice you're not worried about, with your back turned to the defense, a big 290-pound defensive end running you over right after you catch it. And you know, and the quarterback doesn't have a 310-pound defensive tackle in his face as he throws the pass. So I think a thing like the screen pass not playing against a physical live defense is something that's probably a little bit more difficult to practice than some other plays. I appreciate the call, Frank. Thanks a lot.
Sure. Thanks.
201-939-4513. And I think Frank made a good case. If you want to make the case for extending Eli now to free up extra money this offseason to do enough to get into the playoffs, to give him a chance, and the last thing you want to do is waste one of Eli Manning's potential prime years by not making it into the playoffs, so you do enough to get in, I'll buy that. I'll buy it. I think that makes sense. And I think that's probably the best argument to extending him now. But again, I would wait a year. And again, this isn't me saying, folks, that they should jettison Eli Manning, get a new quarterback, and start over. I'm not saying that. In fact, if I had to make a prediction, do I think Eli gets back to his old ways from a couple years ago? I think he probably does if you put the right people around him. But I'm not willing to make that bet coming off of the last year and a half. I'll wait a year. Why? Because I have the luxury to do it. He's under contract for two more seasons. Why make the decision now when you can have even more information to base your decision on a year from now. That's my point. 201-939-4513. Our final call of the show is Charlie up in Portland, Maine. Charlie, long time no speak, bud.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Charlie.
I think Frank should take Jerry Reese's place. I think he'd be a great GM.
He's a good caller. Very, very, very thoughtful Giant.
Very thoughtful, very smart. And the thing is, like, I can't believe it. Eli is one of the greatest quarterbacks when it comes to big plays, big games. How many quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl in the last 2 minutes, had to drive down the field, score a touchdown to win a game? There's not many.
Joe
Montana only did it once. The other three Super Bowls he won were blowouts. Tom Brady did it a couple of times with field goals, and then he lost two games, and he couldn't bring them back with 35 seconds, whatever he had left, or even the last year he had more time, and he couldn't bring them back to win. So to me, the conversation is, if I want one quarterback in the Super Bowl with two drafts, it's either Eli or Joe Montana. And right now, I would pick Eli Manning over anybody else any day of the week. This guy doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. He just needs an offensive line that's going to protect him, running back. That's all he needs. And for people to get on him and for you to say, I wouldn't extend him, I mean, it's ridiculous. He's one of the best quarterbacks in history. I guess he's got to win one more Super Bowl with 2 minutes left for anybody else to realize how great this guy is.
No, but look, Eli in great games, and I said it, he's been one of the better big-game quarterbacks that I've ever seen. He elevates his play. He plays a lot better. But you have to admit, his regular season play to get into the postseason has been extremely inconsistent, and in the last year and a half, he simply
has
not
played. He hasn't had an offense.
And I don't
look at the first game in Dallas. How many points did we score?
Charlie,
31.
His
offense was doing pretty well until the whole offensive line fell apart, and we had a bunch of injuries.
And
he, you know, to me, it's like it's not a – you can't even question that.
No, Charlie, and I agree. And in fairness, Charlie, in my point all season, you've listened to the show, and I know you know this, Eli Manning – was sunk this year a lot more because of a bad offensive line and other factors than it was his own play. And I agree with you 100%. But my point is not I never want to extend Eli Manning. My point is I just want to wait one more season to make sure that if you put better pieces around him, he is still that same guy.
He just needs an offensive line. The thing is we need that cap space to get people. I mean, the
$25 million
thing is like, to me, is you got to look at the player and say, okay, Akeem Nix, who is better that we can bring in than Akeem Nix? If you say, yeah, there's this guy out there in free agency, forget the drafting. Because the thing is, Koff never plays rookies. And we had to play Pugh, or we wouldn't even have played him if the offensive line wasn't injured. He probably would have been on the bench. So
he started 16 games, Charlie. It's hard for me to say you're not going to play Justin Pugh. The guy started all 16 games.
If Snead was healthy and Boss was healthy, you think he would have been playing? I don't think so. I think Booth would have been on the right tackle, and I think he would have been the spot guy coming in to help out. Because they don't play rookies. He had to play because of the injury situation.
If
you're not
going to
draft a wide receiver unless it's Jerry Rice resurrected and stick him in the lineup and play. Look how long it took Jurgensen just to get in the friggin' field.
Nix played plenty as a rookie for Charlie. Nix played plenty as a rookie. Hakeem Nix.
Nix did because they realized this guy was a great receiver.
Well, that's what I'm
saying.
You've got to
find somebody who's better. So my question is there somebody better in free agency than Akeem Nix? Forget the draft because they're not going to play the guy unless they go up to, you know, go up six spots and pick the best wide receiver in the, you know, in the draft. And I don't even know how if the wide receiver is a deep draft this year or not. I don't really know. You probably know. But to me, it's like you got to look at that. Linnell Joseph, you got to say, is there somebody better than him that we're going to get to plug in? I mean, you've got to have depth on that defensive line. And if you don't have depth, what if Hankin gets injured?
You have Marcus Kuhn and you have Mike Patterson.
Oh, that's great. They're just terrific.
Well, but Charlie, you only have so much money to spend. I'd love to
that's
bring in all these guys,
you,
too.
Yeah, that's why you do Eli's contract. And make sure you get the money so you can have depth, so you can do what you need to do this year and not wait possibly next year.
All right, Charlie. Fair enough.
You got too many holes.
I hear you.
You know? And tight end. The other thing is tight end. Like, who's out there that's better than Myers? There's a lot. So that case, you can say, okay, we don't need him. We'll go out and get somebody. But I don't think the draft is going to work because they never play anybody. Coughlin doesn't like to play rookies.
Well, quite frankly, Charlie, one of the reasons a lot of the guys haven't in the plan because they weren't good enough to play. If these guys are good enough to play, they'll play. But really,
well,
how many of these high draft picks are good enough?
Why are you drafting him? That's why,
well,
I want Frank instead of Jerry Reese.
I hear you, Charlie. Thanks for the call, bud.
Okay.
Always good to hear from you. And we'll have to agree to disagree on that. But I understand his point. I get where he's coming from. And if you're 100% sure about Eli Manning, then yeah, you would sign him to the extension this year. I'm 85% sure about Eli Manning. 80%. And for that 15%, 20%, I'll wait a year. And I'll make sure. Because the worst thing you can do, folks, and I'm telling you, this could set back the franchise half a decade if you commit $20 to $25 million a year to somebody that ends up being a middle-of-the-road quarterback in the regular season. That could set your franchise back that many years. Just saying. Now, if Eli plays like he did 2 years ago, then, yeah, you're fine. But quite frankly, how many 2012 years has Eli Manning had over the course of his career? 2011 seasons, I'm sorry. How many 2011 seasons has Eli had over the course of his career? Two? Maybe three? So there is an inconsistency there. That's why I just want to wait to make sure. I want peace of mind. Am I being conservative here? Yes. But I think in this case, being prudent is better than going for the expediency of now. To dive into the vocabulary section of the show. Everybody, I got to tell you, excellent job on the phones. Excellent job on Twitter. I tried to get to as many tweets as possible, but the calls were so good I didn't have much of a chance. We'll be back next week. We covered Eli today. We'll try to go on a different topic each day. I'll bring in some guests next week. We'll talk to a couple of Giant beat writers. I'll bring in a couple around the NFL guys. I'll talk about some of the free agents out there. And we'll have some fun as we examine the Giants heading into the offseason in 2014. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. Be safe on the road. Enjoy the weather. More snow. We can't wait. And we'll see you on Monday on Giants.com. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. I'll see you later.